Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers at Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
So good, so good, so good.
New markdowns are on at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save even more, up to 70% on dresses, tops, boots, and handbags to give and get.
Because I always find something amazing.
Just so many good brands.
I get an extra 5% off with my Nordstrom credit card. Total queen treatment.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command.
The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders!
With former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with former 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. We're with you three times a week after the game, then a film review, generally Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we look ahead within the next couple of days to the upcoming opponent. So make sure you are feeling the rhythm of the week here and that you download, review, rate, subscribe, all that stuff to the pod so that we're in your feed when we drop a new episode. Of course, you can listen to us as well. Logan's got all of his Commanders obligations on their social platforms. I'm on 106.7 The Fan from 2 to 6.30 every day. All right, Logan, last time out was not pretty. Kedrick Golston and I had the honor of discussing that game moments after it ended as Washington lost in Dallas by 22, got doubled up. I mentioned this in the post game, but I looked this up. First time the Commanders have given up 40 or more, lost by 20 or more, and committed 10 or more penalties in 11 years. I mean, this was about as bad as it gets for a regime that just hasn't had clunkers to this extent. This was the biggest loss in terms of point differential of the Dan Quinn era. So I think we'll start with the defense, but just paint with a broad brush. You were in Dallas. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this was a Dallas is a good football team, offensively. And I think, you know, I was talking to London Fletcher about this yesterday on the Booth Review podcast, which is something we do for the Commanders. And when you're playing good offenses, like, they're going to get stuff, right? They're going to find these explosive 50-50s down the field. Like, George Pickens is one of the best, if not the best, 50-50 contested catch receiver. Like, they're going to find those opportunities because that's what they're good at, right? That's like their thing they major in. It's like when you play Philadelphia, last year. Like, they're going to run the football. They're going to find an explosive run with Saquon Barkley, right? However, the Fletch, you know, because he's like a defensive guy, you know, Hall of Fame kind of caliber player and all that kind of stuff. He was like, you got to win a couple of those, couple of third downs, couple of critical down and distance. You got to kind of find ways to get edges. And he and I both agreed that they just didn't do that with enough regularity in this game, right? And, you know, my first instinct as an offensive player is to say the offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain, and we'll talk about that when we get to the offense. But I do think that they just couldn't make enough plays when they had to for a myriad of reasons, and we'll get into the details on that as we go.
So let's talk about the defensive woes first. We'll separate the offense for another segment, but this defense gives up chunks of 74, 44, 37, 33, 24, 18, and then 17, 17, 16, 15 in terms of the explosive 15-plus plays. It was a fifth time in seven games they have not generated a single takeaway. So just starting with the defensive performance, yep, when you watched it, what were your big picture thoughts on how bad this was?
Yeah, going back and watching the film, I think there was a lot of things that came to the forefront. Let's talk about that explosive play to CeeDee Lamb. I think that's a really good example, and maybe like a microcosm of what's going on with the team. So, for example, like, they're in some type of a Tampa 2, which I really like to call. It's like this inverted Tampa 2. You get, you know, Frankie Louvu as the flat player. I forget who the other flat player is, but kind of your atypical flat players. The corners are kind of running deep to you know, one's Quan, one's Marshawn Lattimore in terms of the two shell, and you get someone running up the middle of the field. And I think you get some players who are in different spots based on guys coming new to the team and new roles. And so, like, nobody in Tampa 2, like that Tampa player has to carry the vertical. He has to carry CeeDee Lamb. And for whatever reason, that player is not doing it. So CeeDee Lamb is running wide open down the middle of the field, which is the weakest point of cover two, right? Or a cover two. Like, if you're just running straight cover two, the reason Tampa 2 was invented was to keep people from running down the middle of the field, right? So they don't carry that. And, you know, on Dallas radio, they're talking about how that wasn't actually the route CeeDee Lamb was supposed to run. He just ended up running it because there was space there and he felt no one was carrying him, which is 100% right on his part, right? So coverage bust to start the thing off, right? The rush doesn't quite get home. They're not creating an effective pass rush. And that's kind of, I think, a mark of the injuries at the position. So we got a new guy as the Tampa player, not doing exactly what he's supposed to do. We don't get the pass rush. We're banged up on the perimeter of the defensive line. And obviously there's a big completion, and it's compounded by the fact that both post safeties are running into each other. That should never happen because there should be a Tampa player carrying that to the vertical, to the middle of the field, right? So I look at that stuff, and in the moment you're like, I was so irritated because I'm like, man, two guys just ran into each other. What's going on? But that shouldn't have happened. It's a mental mistake that happened earlier in the play, right? So that's an example to me of the Commanders not doing what they're supposed to do. So compare that to the Trey Amos 50-50 down the sideline where Daron Payne wins quickly and Dak just lays a ball in there. Pickens does a great job catching it right on the right sideline there. That to me is something that I can deal with. Like, the coverage is pretty good. The rush is pretty good. Dak and Pickens make a play. When you're playing a team like Dallas, you can't have the unforced errors. And I think that's what that first explosive play, or maybe the second explosive play to CeeDee Lamb exudes or illuminates. It's the fact that the coverage call, to my money, is correct. It's a good call. It obviously confuses Dak, at least initially, right? But then we don't execute the call well. And then we compound it by making a kind of a Keystone Cops mistake. But I don't even fault the two guys that were involved in the collision, because it shouldn't have even gotten to that point, because of the way the coverage should be executed.
But what is Lattimore doing on that play? Like, I get he's dropping.
He's a half player. He's a half player. Like, he's,
I mean, he's like tracking the ball.
So think about this, Grant. That ball should never be completed there because there should be somebody running up the middle of the field with him, right? So he's there. He's got his half of the field. Quan's got his half of the field. Then they're converging to the middle because the ball's there. They're both trying to make a play on the football. They both run into each other. So, like, yes, did he make it? Did he compound the error? Sure, but I look at it and I say to myself, like, he is now operating outside the modus operandi for that specific call in the defense. Both of them are, right? Quan and Marshawn, right? Does that make sense? So
To it me, does. Like, and I get what you're saying, like in a vacuum. To me, it seems like his awareness on that play on Madden was a zero, where like you're tracking the ball like a punt returner in the middle of the field, and you, dude cuts you off, and then you take out the other DB. It's a Keystone Cops moment. I get what you're saying. I don't know that he necessarily.
So Grant, where's that ball normally completed? If you're running, if no one's carrying, if you're playing Tampa 2,
yeah,
no one's carrying, like just playing cover 2. That ball is normally completed down the middle over the top. Scene.
Yes.
Right. That's where the ball is normally completed. So to me, he's playing the ball down the middle over the top. Now, I'm not absolving him of responsibility. Like, I think if you were to ask him and you were to ask Quan, could they both have played it better? 100%. But I'm just saying it got to a point where it shouldn't have gotten because of a technical breakdown earlier in the down. And that's the thing that I find that I think, again, kind of is a microcosm of the larger issues with the defense, where it's like the call is good, and then all of a sudden we don't get the execution on the call, and then we get a breakdown in the secondary with two guys running into each other. So to me, that's more what that is. And again, like I'm sure if you asked Marshawn today, he would say, "Yeah, I got to play it better."
Kind of the part I'm talking about, I guess. Like I know everything you're saying about the why the play went bad is correct. I'm saying, okay, it happened. Let's be a football player. A little bit, you know, like on the back end.
But I think when you say let's be a football player, like that ball traditionally is completed down and over the top.
Right.
He's playing it down and over the top. So again, like you got to play ball, but like.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, like how many times have you repped playing that football? No one runs straight cover two anymore, Grant. It's not a thing people do.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're playing straight cover two because no one's carrying the vertical, right? So like how many reps this year or in the last 5 years of his career does he have at that? Like that's my question to you.
But you're saying it's just not possible that he would just – look at where CeeDee Lamb is coming in the path and break up a pass.
So this is the thing I think people sometimes have a hard time with is like you have eye discipline rules, right? So like when you're in cover two, and I don't know their exact rules, but let's just make up some rules for the sake of this conversation, right? You are carrying number two vertical, right? So my eyes are on number two. I'm playing with eyes on number two through two to the quarterback. Let's just say that's my rule, right? All of a sudden, ball comes out, right? It's not going to my guy. It's going to the middle of the field where there should be somebody there. I start tracking the football, and I think I'm in space by myself, right? So it's like you saying he should have awareness of CeeDee Lamb. It's like my vision is not on CeeDee Lamb. That's not my responsibility. I'm playing through two to the quarterback. And all of a sudden, as I start tracking the ball, do I check that CeeDee Lamb's there? I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the film. But I think like that's something that people who don't play in these coverage structures forget is they're not their awareness isn't the all 22. It isn't the TV copy.
Sure.
It's what they're supposed to be looking at ideally.
Yeah.
And again, I think it leads to this kind of mistake. And again, the thing I would point to, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him, I'm just trying to provide context, is how many times has he been the half player in cover two in his career would be my question to you. So how many times has he had an opportunity to make a play like that in his career? And I would say it's probably less than five if I was really, really thinking about it. So like so I know people want to roast him. And again, if you asked him, he'd probably say that he can be better. And there's no doubt about it. And I think he would probably say that he could.
I think that's my point. Then me and him agree, I guess.
But I mean, that's what good football players do is you take responsibility for something that, but I, as a coach, right. I think I'd look at it and say, is that a realistic expectation in that moment, given the number of reps he's had, given the way this defense is supposed to be executed? And I'd probably say no. And again, like that's I'm sure if you would ask Joe Wood Jr., he'd probably say something similar because that's what good teams do is they take ownership of those moments. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Oh, I'll defer to you. I think there's somewhere in there where everything you're saying is correct. And that ball's in the air for a really long time in your peripheral vision. You could see CeeDee Lamb coming across the field. But if you think that's too tough of an ask, I'll defer
I'm
to
just,
you.
I'm just saying. You played, seven on seven flag football out with your buddies before, right? You've been looking at your responsibilities. You've run to undercut a ball and someone undercuts you. Like,
of course.
Shit happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, and again, because of the structure of the defense, because of the number of reps he's got on it, could he be? Yes. Could he play it better? Sure. But I think when you look at the play, when you look at the coverage, it's kind of stacked against him a little bit in terms of making a good play in that moment.
Well, there were other plays too where
sure, no doubt
I would defend him on other things that he's getting killed for. I don't think the pass interference of 37 yards down to the 2 yard line to start the game was a very good call. Now it gets called sometimes. Because, he doesn't get his head around in time or whatever they decided to throw the flag for. Those are two physical dudes hand fighting all the way down the field. Pickens involved too. I wouldn't have called that PI. But I want to ask you about the 44-yard play at the end of the half. So this was George Pickens setting up what was the 33-yard run. I actually thought Lattimore played it really, really well on the sideline. He's in phase, pretty tight coverage. Perfect throw, perfect catch. Was talking to Jay Gruden on my show yesterday, and he hated the play call, basically. He said, on 2nd and 17, before the half like that, there's no reason you're not helping with a deep safety over top of Pickens, who runs those 9 routes one-on-one. He doesn't like that they asked. On 2nd and 17, Lattimore to be on an island down the field rather than basically forcing Dak to check it down and make Aubrey kick a 65-yard field goal. What's your thought on that?
I mean, I think it's pretty easy to play Monday morning quarterback. And so what I will say, I have a lot of respect for Jay, and he's a really smart dude. He's forgotten more football than I know. But on that play, they're in quarters coverage, right? And so they're in quarters coverage. They're in a 3x2. They motion the second guy away. So they get isolation there in quarters coverage. So when in quarters coverage versus a 4x1 set, it basically becomes lock man to that side because the quarter safety that had number two to the side of George Pickens now has to play the four receiver side. So his eyes are away. So the call initially is quarters, right? Everyone knows quarters. That's really good against four verticals. That's really good down the field. But because of how they formationed it, I'm talking about Dallas, right? Now it becomes lock man on that perimeter on that side. And so I do think that again, that's one of the reasons you bring Marshawn in here is for those types of moments, right? Is those big moments against big time receivers. But I also think that George Pickens, is one of the better deep 50-50 contested catch guys down the field. And so this is kind of what I was referring to. I'm not sure. And again, you'd have to have his coach, and I'm not a DB. So I'd probably defer to Fred Smoot or Sean Springs on something like this. But I think he's in pretty good phase. I think he's being physical. I'm not sure there's a lot he could do other than like look up and try to play the football at some point. But again, George Pickens does a good job with late hands there. Doesn't really give him an indicator to look up. Again, somebody brought this up to me, like in terms of, you know, why is he so close to the line of scrimmage? Like one of the number one plays they call there versus four receivers away is a slant. And if you're giving him too much cushion with, again, that quarter safety to your side, eyes to the four receiver side, that slant could be an explosive play too. So I do think that, like, because
you don't want to take your chances there, though, when they got to, you know, it's less than a minute left in the half to rally and tackle a slant than a 50-50 ball with Pickens down the field.
So I think even the way you just described that with 50-50, right, is the something that I would point to, because there was a period of time where, like, with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, where anytime you showed press coverage, they would automatically default to a 50-50 contested catch down the field. And you could basically get them on third and one to, instead of running the football, throw a 50-50 ball, and it was a low percentage completion, right? And you could get them off the field. And so I do think, like, the nature of a 50-50 ball is that it's a 50-50. Now, I think you could argue that because of the person throwing the football and because of the person catching the football, it's no longer a 50-50. But if we're trying to defend, and I think it's important to remind the audience that in this situation, the field goal kicker is absolutely playing out of his mind at the moment. So you're also kind of defending a very almost an unrealistic standard in terms of how far these guys are kicking field goals now. So the slant would have got you into field goal range, I would argue, as well. Because, again, everyone's pushing to the four receiver side. He's totally playing isolation basketball there. And so, again, that's something I would just say, like, if you're taking a 50-50 shot down the field in a two-minute situation with Marshawn Lattimore and that tight of coverage, like, I don't know if he could have been tighter.
No, I thought he covered it great. I tend to be on Jay's side where I'm wondering how do we get to a point where it's an island with Lattimore on the sideline against Pickens?
So again, like I just explained that.
You answered the question.
Do formation, right? And I will say, like earlier in that half, they had some excellent success with quarters coverage. Like it kind of totally flummoxed Dak, and it ended up leading to two sacks. Because again, like it just kind of killed all of his answers versus all of the route combinations that he wanted to work. And so he had to hold the football, ended up leading to two sacks. And I think even the first play of that drive that got them to second and 17 was a sack versus quarters coverage. So to me, it's like, well, maybe you just feel like that's the move because Dak seems unsettled with it. You have two sacks on two calls. You call it again. They kind of formation you up. You get this explosive play down the field. And so, like, to me, that's ball sometimes. Sometimes you get got. And again, like, I don't really have a problem with the call. I think Dallas did a good job with their call, obviously, as I just alluded to. But, obviously going back, I'm sure Joe Witt would have been like, yeah, we should have been in Tampa 2. But if they go Tampa 2, they obviously had a breakdown earlier in the game. And does that lead to an explosive play? Like, who knows?
It makes sense. And the Cowboys did a good job with the motion and what they did, sounds like, to get that look. I just – what someone listening might say would be there's end-of-half situations in every game, every single week with bad and good defenses, and it's never that easy. It's 40 seconds to go 80 yards. It's actually about longer than that because of the sack to start the drive. But – and you know, 44 there followed by the 33, which we can get into on the run. But the 44-yard pass, like – okay, so they did a couple things, and they got the right look, and now it's one-on-one against quarters. I watch games every single week, 10 times a day, a Sunday, and at the end of the half, the quarterback is forced to throw the ball 5 to 7 yards on checkdowns, and you got to get down the field that way, or you don't get down the field. You never see anybody behind the deepest guy getting a deep ball in that situation, and the default for me is to say, if that's the case, something went very wrong.
So I understand that, and I understand that completely in terms of people listening, and it's a great question. But again, given the situation, given the field goal kicker, what is the actual line you're defending?
Well, I'm okay giving up a 65-yard field goal.
I know you are, Grant. So, but they're in quarters coverage, Grant. Like, it's supposed to take away vertical routes. Like, that's what it's supposed to do, right? And obviously they formationed it up. Again, the coverage is good. Sometimes you just get got. And I know that's really hard for people to understand in a game.
They get got too much.
Grant, I'm not. That's not the point of this conversation right now, right? Is to say that they're not getting. Like, we can talk about that more specifically. There's other plays. Yeah. The Tampa 2-1, I think, is a great example of what you're.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Talking about the breakdown. To me, in this situation, right, if I called quarters versus this look and Marshawn Lattimore's in that coverage, in that relationship to the receiver, that's, they just got us. And again, like, there's a run later on that drive where it ends up being a 33-yard gain. That's a misfit in terms of run fits. We can talk about that because that's a frustrating call, because I think you're in the right look and you get gashed for 33 yards. That's a tough look, right? But on that play versus that call, like, I feel like we're playing Monday morning quarterback here a little bit in terms of saying, well, they should have, coulda, woulda. Like, in the moment, he made a decision. It was a call. It was relatively well executed, and they got us. Like, and that's football. And now, again, there's the Tampa 2-1. There's some explosive runs. Like, we can talk about the run fits all day defensively in terms of guys getting out of gaps.
Yeah, so let's do that. I mean, okay. you had both your tackles. Payne, I thought, played his butt off. He had three batted balls, had a safety, had a TFL, had quarterback hits. Kinlaw was the least noticeable he's been at any point this season. I think he's been an incredible player for them. But their $15 million man, I know he drew a hold at one point. Even going back and watching the tape, you didn't notice him very much. So you could tell me, were they taking him out of the game? Were they doing something different? We didn't have what Joe Witt calls those, like, turnaround plays at the line of scrimmage, or – you know, the big TFLs from Kinlaw, they just didn't happen. But you had both your tackles, you had your two second-team All-Pro linebackers that you paid $21 million to. This is not an injury thing, and you gave up 145 on 26 carries. It's two straight weeks they've been gashed on the ground. So what went wrong there?
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
I mean, I think this is a tough conversation because it's a couple of things. One, it's guys not being as physical as they could be, and that's always hard. I'm sure as a player, it's hard to hear someone say, sitting in a chair in a nice air-conditioned room, that they weren't being physical enough, but that shows up to me in run fits, you know? And I also think there's just some assignment stuff. It's like, two guys in a gap, like, and again, I don't know what the rules are for the run fits, right? But I know enough to know that there should never be two guys in the same gap. When there are two guys in the same gap, that means we're short in terms of fits, right? So, you know, going back to that explosive run that Javonte Williams has, like right before the half, like they come down, they're running a little line stunt. You know, Kinlaw plays across the guard's face to the center. He kind of gets in the backside A gap a little bit more than I think he probably should. He probably should be in that front side A a little bit more. The safety's fitting from depth. Revo does a good job playing over the top, forcing it back. So you get Revo outside, you get the safety, the quarter safety fitting from outside. Kinlaw seems to be one gap removed, and they gash us in the A gap, the play side A gap, for a 33-yard gain because there's nobody in the middle of the field anymore, right? So that's a small example of saying, well, I don't know who was wrong, but obviously someone was wrong in that scenario, right? And I think when you're looking at run fits specifically in this game, like it just it showed up way more than I would like it to, right? Because we talk about the coverage thing. This is a passing league. You're going to get PIs. Like some of that stuff is outside of your control. The run fits to me are just, and I'm talking with Fletch about this as well, are just, are we all on the same page? And do we know what we're supposed to do? And so there are times in this game where that's a question that I'm asking and I don't have a good answer for it, right? And it's the same thing with some of the coverage stuff. It's like, why are we not carrying this vertically? And again, Dallas did some good stuff with regards to formations and motions that create challenges and challenge rules and kind of say, oh, you know, with this motion, do I need to be in the box? Probably because this guy's going to carry whatever that is. But I think to me that kind of stuff is maybe more indicative of the question you're asking, right? Where it's like, what is the solution? And to me, it's getting guys on the same page. Assignment, alignment, execution isn't exactly where it needs to be. And I don't have a good reason as to why that is. But in this game, on those plays specifically that we just talked about, the Tampa 2 with nobody carrying the vertical and a lot of these run plays, it was difficult to know what the actual execution should look like.
And they were playing an elite offense. I mean, this Cowboys offense, like the way Dak is playing right now, he's playing like an MVP. Right. Pickens, who I'm not a fan of, I just think he's a volatile, you know, goofball a little bit. Like, he's playing out of his mind. He's been amazing for them all season. CeeDee Lamb comes back, makes his presence felt. So right now, this moment, this is as difficult as an offense as there is to defend. I kind of grade on that curve. I go into the game understanding that. And then there was a little more pressure. We'll get to the offense. But, you know, they weren't able to keep up and kind of score the points they normally do to keep you in the game as well. I guess the last thing would be, and this is more for later in the week when we look ahead to the gauntlet here coming, starting with the Chiefs, but Dorrance Armstrong's been lost for the season. Yeah. And he's their best pass rusher. He is leading them in sacks and pressures and quarterback hits and every other category, and he helps against the run. They've now lost Wise on one side, who is one of their really good run stuffers. Now you've lost Armstrong, so you're down both your top defensive ends. You got a third defensive end, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's out as well. So that's a cluster injury at a position that, you know, this next man up thing is all fun and games until it's next man up at defensive end. Obviously, at D-tackle, they're very healthy. I have questions about, you know, Johnny Newton's getting outsnapped by Sheldon Day. Johnny Newton was the 36th pick in the draft last year. Sheldon Day was on the practice squad a few minutes ago. Got outsnapped by Eddie Goldman, who's retired a couple of times. Some of that's usage, obviously, because he's a big body against the run. But, you know, they're super healthy at D-tackle. They're not healthy at all at defensive end. So this is not going to get easier here, Logan, either. I mean, you're about to play a Chiefs team that scored 61 points in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to get easier. And I do think, like, you know, I think we've made a lot of the injuries on the offensive side of the football with regards to the receivers specifically. But I do think you feel like I think they miss Will Harris a lot, you know, in terms of his communication and his leadership in the back end. I think you miss Dietrich Wise after going back and watching some of the Giants stuff and some of that Green Bay stuff. Like he was exactly what they needed at the position. Just a physical guy who understood run fits, who was going to be where he's supposed to be, who was going to make life hell for the tight end. Dorrance the same way. And Jean-Baptiste, even though he didn't play a ton in the preseason because of the injury, like, was doing a really good job of that also. He's a big, long guy that can is physical in terms of how he takes on blocks, and you've lost that. And so now you've kind of entered a land of, you know, a lot of kind of pass rushing type guys, you know what I mean? And guys that don't necessarily major in run stopping on first and second down. And there's a mentality to that, but there's also an assignment element to that. So how many reps did Von Miller get on with first and second down run fits? I don't know. You know what I mean? Preston Smith was, you know, on the street a couple weeks ago. Like he's in.
I remember now, this like, too. Sorry to cut you off, but
yeah, go ahead.
I remember doing a pod with you, and something I talked about on my show a lot, but right before the season, where I actually kind of really liked their defensive line plan.
Yeah.
I obviously would have, like everyone else, of course you want TJ Watt at edge. Yeah, me too. But
oh yeah, that's good analysis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
exactly.
Football players. Yeah.
Give me TJ Watt and give me Aaron Donald. But their plan I loved because yeah. I comped it to you like a bullpen where they're gonna use guys in situations where they can thrive. So like with Von Miller, he's gonna be a third down guy and a fourth quarter closer, right? Like with Wise, it's gonna be rundowns where he can be heavy. And like each guy, Jacob Martin, who by the way I thought played his butt off in Dallas. He had seven pressures.
Played that out of his mind. Awesome. Yeah.
I love that guy. And maybe he's the guy that steps up with Dorrance Armstrong out, right? But regardless, I guess my point is all of these guys offer something. If any of them were at this point like super complete, you know, they'd be all down, highly paid yeah. players, but they all give you a skill. And I thought they were going to be like, okay, it's the seventh inning. We're going to our lefty against these lefties. Okay, it's the eighth inning. This guy can't hit off speed, so we're going to our, you know, whatever. They can't really do that now because of all the injuries. And so Von Miller's playing on first and second down, and Jacob Martin's an all-down defensive end. And so my point is like, yeah, obviously it's not going to work as well. Like, this is no longer the plan. The plan was this thing where we got these eight guys we like. And I know that's not expected that they would all stay healthy, but – there's probably a middle ground between that unrealistic expectation, especially after last year when everybody was healthy other than John Allen, basically, and the regression this year where nobody's healthy. And so now it's like, you know, it's just not what they set up the plan to be that we all liked so much going into the year on the D-line.
Yeah, I think you feel that. I think you feel it there. You know, it's just tough. And this is a tough sport. And this is some part of the deal with the NFL is guys get hurt. And so now it's like, how do you handle this? Now Adam Peters has got to go kind of scour practice squads, figure out if there's anybody available to bring in here to kind of help them with this vision. But, yeah, you do feel that lack of depth specifically with guys like, again, like Jean-Baptiste and Dietrich Wise, like what they were doing was really, really valuable for this team. And so you lost both those guys and you lost Dorrance, and it's hard to stay effective when people are banged up this way.
Totally is. And yet this is the gig, right? They got to find a way. I just watched the Lions last night without any of their DBs shoving on the Atlanta Falcons, right? Kyle Shanahan has the 49ers picking random dudes out of the crowd to play and they're 5-2. I'm not saying that should be the expectation. Like, I'm not some tough guy. Injuries don't matter. But it also can't be that you just kind of fold up shop and now, you know, you're giving up 40 a week. So they got to figure something out and they'll go back to the drawing board and try to do that. You know, where you have empathy is now you got to go to Arrowhead. Then you get the Seahawks off a bye. Like, that's not fun. Then the Lions came to town. This is going to be a gauntlet of a stretch. We're about to find out a lot about this group. All right, let's get to the offense next. It's Take Command. He's Logan. I'm Grant, making sense of a 22-point divisional loss to the Dallas Cowboys.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.